This week, we are going to be talking about the abortion debate. Also,
let's talk about the voting age. Is it too young?
All that and more, only on the Midday Mumbles podcast. Welcome back. I'm Gage.
I'm Isaac.
And today we are going to be discussing the whole abortion conversation. I know, controversial. It's one of those things that people generally don't like to touch.
It gets clicks. I'm sorry.
It's really one of those things that people with 10-foot poles just like try to avoid to touch, but I don't know.
People avoid it far too much, I think. I think the abortion topic is something people really should be discussing. I think it's a big deal.
But we got the biggest balls in the podcast game, so we're going to be talking about it today.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe as, you know, Isaac's walking down the street and some feminist threw something at him.
Angrily, I can feel you furiously typing your comment right now. And then I might be terrified of that, you know?
After this episode airs, Isaac's address is going to leak out and a bunch of feminists are going to dress up like pussies and knock on his door. My body, my choice.
Oh boy. So Gage, what's your take? What's your take on abortion? What's your opinion?
You know, I think I have one of the more moderate opinions because, believe it or not, I actually used to be pro-choice. Actually years ago, I used to be in support for abortion. Now, the reason I used to be in support with abortion was because I never really did any research on it. And I used to have the mindset, well, I'm a guy, why the fuck should I care? But then I started, you know, I'm talking before 2016 era, you know, then I started becoming more of a conservative. I started getting into politics and kind of, you know, forming my own opinions. And at that point, that's when it kind of clicked in my head. Oh shit, you know, this is the why, you know, I should change to pro-life or at least have some pro-life opinions.
Yeah.
So I think one of the biggest arguments with this whole thing is, you know, rape. I hear that so much when you're having a conversation about abortion.
Well, I would say the two big things are shut up, you misogynist, because men can't have an opinion on this, apparently. Mm. And like you said, you used to have that belief.
Right.
And also the rape.
Rape is the biggest thing.
And I think that's where crossover starts to begin, right, as far as Republicans go. I'm really unsure what I think about rape. I'm definitely very pro-life. Very pro-life. Always have been.
Listen, rape is a bad thing. Rape is a terrible thing. And I'm not going to sit here and say on a microphone that, oh, ladies, if you're raped, you know, big deal. No, because it is a big deal. And personally, I think anyone that has the audacity to go and rape someone should be shot out in a field somewhere and left, you know what I mean, his body to decay. He's a bad person. He's a horrible
really
person.
Really bad person. Anything good in your life
that child should suffer because of something that someone did that was so nasty, right, and horrible. So, you know, that leads me into something, you know, my next thing. Adoption is always an answer. You have a kid, if you can't find, you know, I'm 100% for, think about this big decision. Having a child is a very expensive thing. What is it? The average American child costs a family like, what, $250,000? $211,000, something like that. It's ridiculous.
I don't know.
It's expensive. A kid is expensive. And, you know, you're younger. Isaac and I are younger. You know, we haven't started our families yet. We're kind of young.
As one commenter already has told us, we're like young kids. We don't even get any of this. We'll talk about that, I suppose.
We're 16-year-old virgins in bean poles. That's what he said. What's Shay? But no, so the argument, you know, them say adoption is always an answer. You know, if you can't financially support a family, then no, don't bring them into this world because they're just going to suffer. But what I mean by that is don't conceive children. If you can't afford
but
them,
that's, are you saying that you shouldn't condoms? Have you shouldn't have sexual relations with people because condoms aren't perfect.
Condoms are not perfect, but they do a good job. And you know, the birth pill.
Sure. And those aren't perfect either. Neither are perfect.
No.
Female forms of contraceptive are harmful, even.
Right.
They mess with hormones. So
right.
That's another place. But also, if your argument is that those are harmful, therefore abortion should be allowed, abortion is very harmful too. It's extremely
especially
harmful.
Especially because the abortion clinics are very liberal and they're very secretive to the point where they don't really open up to the public at all.
I've watched some people kind of sneaking in cameras and going into an abortion clinic. And the way they handle things is very secretive.
Like cultish. Cultish.
Well, I don't know about cultish.
Join the abortion cult.
it's like they don't want you to realize or decide against having an abortion once you're there. They want you to really not think about it, just get it over with and done. And then leave all of the hard emotions and difficulties to after it's already done when they're not dealing with you. And that's really too bad.
Also, you know, there is no set law that says you can have, you know, so you could have an abortion up until the day before you give birth.
Mm-hmm.
There is no law that says you have the limit is 20 weeks, a week, you know, 2 weeks. There's no law on that. It's
should
you
there can be have, a limit? Should it be at all allowed? I don't think.
Listen,
it should be
allowed. I love compromise in politics, and I know that abortion is such a debated situation. And right now, it's legal in this country. Right now, abortion is legal in most states, and it's legal in the states where the majority of people. You know, maybe there's a few southern states where it's banned. I bet you they don't. Even if it was allowed, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't practice it as much. But there just isn't enough people. But what I'm saying is, it's already legal. And if there needs to be because there does need to be a compromise. Obviously, they're not going to settle. They're not going to say, you know what, Republicans, you're right. You're right. We know we're wrong. No, they're going to be
like, nothing goes that way. So it winds up being a middle ground point. But I don't think Republicans. As a society, if we ever move forward, it's going to wind up being a middle ground because the two sides are so furiously passionate on virtually everything and they are so extreme. Now, this is something I'm very extreme on. I don't think there's really room. I mean, there's definitely room for debate, but I don't think there's room to allow abortion at all. I don't really agree with it at all. I think I do view it as being akin to murder, for a couple of reasons. Primarily being, I can't separate in my mind the thought of a fetus and the thought of a child being so very different. The argument is always that the mother and the fetus are one, and therefore, if the mother does not want that fetus in her body, it's her body to choose to do with, to do what she wills with it. But the only connection there is that there is still a physical connection between the mother and the fetus. And the fetus is entirely dependent on the mother. But is a child that's out of the womb and grown, maybe 5 years old, maybe 8 years old, are they not dependent on their parents? Do you think an 8 year old could go manage to do things on their own, could live on their own? Maybe physically they could go do things, but they're still dependent on their parents. Right. Kids are dependent on their parents until they're like 16 is when they start being able to possibly do things on their own.
Right. Yeah.
Even at that, not really. So using the argument that the baby is dependent or the fetus is dependent on the mother is, I don't view that as being solid because of that. I mean, sure, there's still that physical connection, and I guess you should be, you could say that the mother can choose to snip off the line because that part of her is her. But should a parent of a 5-year-old just stop giving their children food or, you know, caring for their children because it's a hassle to them, because it's expensive?
It's one of those, it's a really, really hard, because abortion is one of those things where, you know, I myself, where I used to be on the other side, I understand the conversation over there, but I also know that it's wrong. One of the biggest things, like I said, is there's no limit on when an abortion could be had. And I think that's what really bothers me the most, is you could have an abortion.
Well, I think you give birth. Getting caught up in that side of things is dangerous in the sense that I just think that's dangerous to think that there's some magical changing point where it becomes a life and doesn't become a life. It's like, I probably view the entire pregnancy period as all being kind of the same. It's just that developing up into it being a newborn and being able to be out of the mother and be cared for outside of the mother so that they can grow more. Either way, it's the mother giving resources to the child to aid its development for quite a while before the even a baby can't digest food once it's out of the mother immediately. It's still dependent on the mother for quite a while. I mean, sure, there's now you can get other breast milk and there's other solutions if you can't breastfeed, but it naturally it would still be breastfeeding.
But I think saying, I think the argument saying, well, you know, you have a baby, no, in this world, especially now, we live in the United States, we have some of the best birth, to prevent birth. If you have to have sex, have protected sex.
Sure. Right?
We have,
and I think, condoms, I think even,
you know, birth control. We have so many different advanced innovations that prevent, the sperm.
Sure, but
from
what about
impregnating the woman
with regular birth control? Besides, like a condom, it's harmful hormonally to the woman typically. So,
but Isaac, I mean, if you abortion's
harmful to the woman.
But if you absolutely have to have sex, I think
no one absolutely has to have sex. People want to have sex, but it's not realistic to say don't have sex. That's not realistic.
Sex has been a part of human nature, any entity for that matter.
I think when you choose to have sex, when you give consent to having sex, you assume the chance, though it is small, that the contraceptives don't work and you wind up with a child.
All right. But let's say you do end up with a child. Let's say, that 99.9%, you're that 0.1% and you end up pregnated. Well, at that point, obviously, have the child and put it up for adoption. I mean, that makes the absolute, if you can't afford
the adoption system kind of sucks. The foster care system sucks.
That's an alternative. That's an absolute alternative.
Sure, at least... There's
over 1.5 million American families wanting to adopt a child, right? So there's absolutely no reason to say, oh, well, this is an unwanted child. No.
Right. And at least the kid has a chance.
Exactly.
It doesn't make any sense. It's better than no chance.
But I think that's what pisses me off the most in this conversation is the fact that, if you absolutely have to have sex, which, by the way, Isaac, makes sense with that. You don't have to have sex. But let's say, you have to, you want to. Fine. But that's when you should, it should be, okay, well, I'm going to have these precautions. I'm going to take these precautions. I'm, you know, am I on birth, you know, the female, am I on birth control, you know, the male, I got condoms, you know, stuff like that. That's very important if you are going to be sexually active. And, you know, I like to use this expression, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't have, you know, if you have hormonal problems with this stuff, well, then don't have sex. But if you want to have sex, then you're going to have to give something. That's just how it works. I mean, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't have sex and then not have problems with hormones. You can. That's called unprotected sex. But that's when a child comes in.
And using it as birth control, which it a lot of times does. People say, well, people want abortions for rape cases. People right. want abortions for just, you know, outside circumstances. But that's not really the majority, from my understanding.
Rape is the biggest, is one of the biggest right, sure. things that I've heard people say. Women, oh, you know, what about rape?
It's so difficult.
It's every case. It's a case by case situation.
To give birth to a kid,
rape is a case by case situation. Yeah, because I mean, I don't think anyone with a straight, not I mean, not a straight face, but with good conscience, could tell a woman that was just raped, well, you got to have the child. But you know, that's when there are availability. You know, day after, and if we are going to have to compromise, which most likely we will, I mean, I would be fine saying the day after, take a pill. I mean, I know, Isaac, I know you're a little bit passionate about the day after pill.
Well, with rape in particular, I can see that being allowable, almost. I mean, is it still wrong? I think so. Would I advise anyone I know to have an abortion after they've been raped? No, I wouldn't. But I can understand why forcing someone to carry a child that is a result of rape, that is a difficult territory that I would be willing
to
give up.
But maybe
it's not that I believe that women should abort their child in that situation. It's that I think of all things to compromise on, that's allowable. You know?
So, Isaac, you are saying, you know, compromise on abortion if you're raped. Well, mm-hmm. you know, maybe there could be some sort of regulation that says you can have an abortion. If you've been raped, you can have an abortion, but you can only have an abortion before the 15-day or 20-day
right,
period.
I don't think you should have the what a lot of people typically think of as abortion. Some of it is day after pill. That's right. An abortion too, which is just going to kill the egg and it will just come out of your system. But and that's not invasive and that's not like a super damaging thing to the mother. But I don't think we should be promoting abortion in the sense of ripping it out of you once it's actually developed into something of
right,
size,
right.
Because that's that can be damaging.
Right.
So it might be seen as a way out, which is easy to take when, or not necessarily easy, but is you would see that as a method of taking it when you're desperate. But it shouldn't we be here caring about people enough to try to stop them from hurting themselves with an abortion? I mean,
right. I don't really consider the day after pill an abortion like you do, Isaac, because
I do.
Okay, well, you know,
why do you not see it as an abortion?
Because, like, you know, my biggest thing about abortion right now is the fact of the length of the time that you can have an abortion. If it's a day after, there's not really much growth in that, say, 12-hour, 15-hour, 24-hour period.
The genetics are already set out. The machine has already started moving.
But it's not like it's conscious.
It's already in act. If you do nothing for intervention at that point, there is a person there. I mean, I would say there will be a person there, but no, I see that as a person right there because the genetic code is in line and it is growing.
So you think So you don't think that consciousness is important. You just think, okay, well, no. It's in there.
What about
even if all it is is just designing the structure?
If consciousness is what validates a human, anyone that's plugged into a machine that's in a coma, should we just off them? Just unplug them, screw them.
I believe that's actually up to the family, generally speaking.
Well, sure. I mean, if there's no hope of them coming back, unplug them. But that's a difficult decision because they're a person still.
Right.
And people don't like people dying.
And so, I'm not advocating for this. I'm just trying to have an open dialogue conversation.
I get it. So I see those two things as the same. I see a fetus is the same as a child. I see all of these things the same. And regardless of that, I think it's important to allow for the chance of a child being successful, being happy. I don't think it's fair to assume that they're going to live a miserable life because the parents are poor or because they're going to be put into the adoption system, because right. They still could enjoy their life. And then they deserve that. They deserve that chance. That's how I see it, because I still see it as a person. So if you want to change my mind on this, you're going to have to fundamentally change my thought of that being a person. Because once I see it as a person, everything else I would see as treating it like a person and how I would treat a person.
Yeah, and I think that's difficult to do.
Why don't we talk about the men shouldn't have opinions on this? Only women should have a say in this. I think. Yeah, what do you think of that?
Believe it or not, there's a lot of women that are against abortion too.
Sure, but there are
a lot of women that are against abortion.
I think it is more men are against abortion. I think there's a higher percentage of men that are against abortion than there is women that are against abortion.
I think how it goes is there's a lot more young. I think the people, the women that support abortion are generally younger.
Probably.
Younger and less experienced. And I think the problem is, in the Democrat Party especially, is a lot of older and mature women are egging these younger women on because of the whole feminist movement. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what it comes down to.
That's what I see. I see very much so akin to currently the BLM movement, mm-hmm. in that I think people get very passionate about it because it's like, if you're a woman, you should stand up for yourself. Or in the case of BLM, if you're black, you should be fighting for these other black people.
But
and
as far
not,
as men...
It's not that they're presenting necessarily an argument to them that's very convincing. It's that they work with their emotions and they get them very fired up about it. And they get them, you know, people in general to stand with it because it's like, that is you. You should stand for yourself, shouldn't you?
Right.
But that's just playing with emotions.
And as far as men on this topic, should men be involved in the conversation?
Absolutely.
I think absolutely, because
they're involved in the contraception. They're involved with it being conceived.
You can't have a baby without a man. You can't have you cannot have a child without sperm.
They're the other half of that genetic code.
And also
it's the mixture between the two genes.
And also, sure, the woman has the child, but both of them are going to become parents. The male and the female are going to have to provide for that child.
I mean, sure, there's a lot of cases where the father steps out on the child and it's just a single mother caring for the child.
But that's another conversation.
But let's get into it a little bit. Actually, I think it'd be important to talk about like the court system, in that a lot of times it winds up being a single mother caring for the kid. But
if you can't afford it, put it up for adoption.
This is a random thought, but maybe a lot of that is that the court system is very in favor of women. They're very prone to anything involving children to just go with the woman and believe the woman.
Even though in a lot of cases,
the man is far better suited for caring for those children. Maybe there's more. I mean, I'm not saying that men have more economic ability, but in a lot of cases, there are men that are more economically stable than the mother, or there is a... It goes either way.
But, I mean, women do a good job raising the children, making them...
Sure. I think women as a whole are more sensitive and emotional as a general thing, not as a... if you're a woman, you should be this, or if right. you know, but generally speaking, I think that's kind of the way it leans a little. I don't think it's massive, but a little. It's hard baked into us. Get mad at, you know, God if you believe in a God, if you think that's a problem.
Right. But I mean, as far as... as men being involved, yeah, totally. I mean, right. you know, men are the ones, think about this, they're both parents, they're both going to have to provide, they're both going to have to work for these people.
At least they and should have to.
They should. So Isaac's saying, oh, well, what about the men that walk out? Well, let's yeah. be honest, I mean, at that point, there's a clear answer. If the woman is not financially suitable... Or, you know, if not suitable to raise our child.
Or uncaring or druggy or, I mean, in the real world.
Then we have systems.
We wind up with lots of single moms that are drug addicts or poor or right. Just don't love their children. But they wind up with the kids.
But at that point,
and
we have systems.
And I think that's a tragedy. Because I can think of, I know a specific case in my mind where there is a mother that has the kids. And she should not. She is not suitable. And the father is far better, but she has them because of the way the legislation works.
Right.
The way
I
the
know,
way it
I
means.
Think everyone knows cases like that. But you know, there's two clear options really. And our system does work in the favor of children. If there are family mothers that are unsuitable or fathers that are unsuitable, you know, the government does step in. Yeah, sure. There should be a conversation in regard to that because
and then it turns into the foster care situation, which is a mess. Foster care is such a mess.
I would rather have a kid in the, you know, adoption system than have them be with
the
neglected
adoption
parents.
System and the foster care system are two different things. So like when there's government intervention, I'm pretty sure that goes to foster care. But when you're giving birth to a kid and you decide you don't want to, I think you can put them up for adoption. I think that's the difference. I'm not super well informed of that those two systems, but I think that's what it is.
But I mean, I think the takeaway from this mostly is just, you know, women and men both should have a say in this. And, you know, and that's the thing that really pisses me off is the fact where women are like, and I think this is mostly feminist, men shouldn't have a say in this. And it's like, well, you know, yeah, yes, because it's important. You know, like you said, Isaac, women are more emotional. And I think that kind of surprises me. You think men would be the ones that are like, yeah, fuck it, kill it. You know, but women are,
sure.
you know, because women are like, oh, it's a baby, it's cute, you know. But, I mean, I think that's actually one of the things that really surprises me.
As I said, though, that's a kind of generally speaking. And I would say that's a vague generally, too. Because there are women that are not emotional and do not give a crap about their kid.
Right.
You know, there's more than enough wiggle. There's lots of wiggle room. It comes down to the person first and foremost. But vaguely speaking, if you look at all women as a whole, they would tend to be more emotional.
Right.
Tend to be. That's what I've noticed. That's what I've seen other people saying. But
yeah,
it's still,
I mean,
case by case, you know, what someone is, what they believe, what they think, how they function.
Right.
It's not like it's fit. You can't just assume because you're talking to a woman that they are more emotional.
Well, I mean, that's kind of how they are, though. Some of them are.
Right, but it's unfair to just assume that because they might not be.
I mean, yeah, true. But I mean, I'm just, I get what you're saying. It's not really worth an argument.
No.
But
I think generally speaking, myself that a baby and a fetus, basically one and the same. A child and a fetus, basically one and the same. I think that it's morally wrong to kill children. I think it's morally wrong to kill people. I think you should give children a fair chance. I think that emotionally it's very damaging to the mother if they have an abortion, and I think that's important. And really, I think from all sides of the story, it is better for people to not have abortions, and I don't think they should be an option.
Think about it like this, people. If you're okay with abortions, then you're okay with murder, and we should let out murderers out of prison. That's one way to look at it. So moving on, we're going to be talking about the voter age, but before we get into that, now a word from our sponsor.
And we're back. So should people listen to us, Gage? Should they care what we say?
Oh, boy.
I mean, we're both 18. We're both, still. Does our opinion matter? I think it still does. I think...
I'm 14. I'm a 14-year-old virgin, and you're a 16-year-old beanpole. Oh, shit. Yeah, no.
Apparently. That's what people have said. Nope, but no, sorry.
We're both 18. I'm 18. 18. We both have kind of... Isaac, you turn 19 in about a week.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I turned August 18 3rd. In a week and 2 days. 2 days after Isaac. Uh-huh, my Gage,
I'm older than you by two days.
Yeah, by 2 days. Oh, shit.
I should have more right to an opinion than you because I am older.
Right. But,
I think you see with a lot of older people that they say, you don't understand. You haven't had experiences. You don't know this because you just are not well experienced enough in the world to have a valid opinion. So we already referenced it, but what kind of inspired us having, or me suggesting the abortion topic was someone commented like, you know, you two are not old enough to be able to understand what's going on there. You're not at the age where you'd be having kids. Neither of us are in relationships. So like what do we know? I would say that I am old enough to have an understanding of things. Right. I would say I'm old enough to be able to look at things and comprehend them, really, is the big thing. I can comprehend things. Sure, I don't have many experiences, but I can look at other people's experiences and have an opinion. And I think having an opinion is still important, regardless of who you are. Maybe I would say it's fair to weigh my opinion less than someone who has a lot of experiences, but I don't think it's fair to just say, you know, shut up because you don't know.
Right. Well, okay, one of the biggest things, I think one of the biggest, points of this whole, listen, I've said this many times in the past, the opinions of young people are just as important as the opinions of older people. I was brought up where people would say, older people are usually tend to be wiser because they have more experience. That's true. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that everything that they say or they agree with or they stand for is correct. That's why younger people also have great ideas because younger people see the world in a different way than older people.
Right.
Younger people see the innovations and the changes, with social media, whereas older, and I think one of the greatest examples of this was Facebook was up, in Congress being testifying, and the older people were asking the dumbest freaking questions ever.
Right.
And
that is the case with tech as a whole, tech legislation.
And young
you
people
need
understand.
Younger people.
And younger people understand, obviously not, I'm not saying all younger people understand, the coding languages, the bits of bobs about
sure,
data
but
and
we,
all that.
We generally, we've grown up with technology. It's not something we've had to adapt to. It's something that we are very much so almost symbiotic with. It's kind of a way of life now. You need it to function. If you want a job, you go to your computer. Right. If you want entertainment, you go to your computer. If you want to talk to your friends, you go to your computer. It's just, it is kind of how we function now.
But I find it funny because, like, older people. So going back to the Facebook testifying thing, you know, one of the questions was, well, if I take this cell phone into the other room or, you know, go to McDonald's, will it know that I left? It's like, okay, you're asking dumb questions now. But I mean, you know, I think not even just with tech, younger people see the world in a different light. Younger people see problems in a different light. And I think that's important, you know, especially in a democracy, to have conversations.
Right. Any opinion is important and should be valued and should be heard.
But listen,
because any discussion is important because you know, might be wrong.
One of the biggest problems with this country is Congress, you know, the House of Representatives and the Senate, that, you know, they're always going back and forth. They're bickering, they're arguing. They can't pass shit to save their lives. You know, you get, you know, it's the same people in there for 40 plus years. Now, I'm not saying freshman congressmen and congresswomen are fine. I mean, look at AOC, for instance. You know, she's a complete hot mess. But, you know, I'm serious. But the problem is, no. If there were a lot more younger people in Congress, you know, kind of split it between older and younger people, there'd be, I bet you there would be a lot more progress because there'd be a, you know, progress.
Well, there'd be probably more ideas. I don't know about progress.
Well, I mean,
progress doesn't really happen people, in our current system.
Younger people understand compromise more than older people. You know, younger people know how to compromise more. I mean, conversation, you know, younger people know how to have the right conversations versus older people. Older people are used to the old timey ways of, oh, well, if you have a conflict, you know, fucking blow the country up, right? Go to war. Younger people look at things in a different light. You know, I don't support war, but I also don't think that we should drop our guard. I don't think we should demilitarize our country and, you know, be all peace, love, and happiness.
That's another conversation just for another day. I mean,
we're coming up with these podcast topics. Just so
we need to record ourselves when we're trying to come up with ideas to talk about.
Right, right.
But, maybe we'll actually have some.
Yeah, but you know, honestly, honest to God, Brody and Isaac are the type of people that really they second guess themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys, and no offense to you, Isaac or Brody, if you're listening.
Yeah, no.
You know, you guys will come up with these ideas or these opinions, and then you guys kind of rather than run with them or do more research into them, you just think, oh, that's stupid. You know, I feel like young people especially aren't confident enough in themselves. And they put themselves down too much. You know, like Brody and Isaac say all the time.
Would you say that has something to do with why... would you say that's a result of them being put down for not knowing enough sort of deal? Would you say that's a result of that? I'm just trying to figure out how it ties in.
Well, okay, so Brody and Isaac, and I'm going to use you guys as examples, but
yeah, that's fine.
You guys aren't very confident when it comes to your ideas, especially political. You know, you say something and it's like, you know, oh, that, you know, you're embarrassed to say what you said.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like it's because young people are afraid that older people are going to say that's a dumb idea. And, you know, podcasting, especially, we put our ideas out on a platform. Now, I know for myself, I really don't have that much of a filter. You know, what I think of comes out, whereas Isaac and Brody are very articulate. You know, they articulate what they're going to say. They're like, you know, is this going to make me look like a jackass? You know, how is this going to make me look?
Well, I don't know. I would say pretty much when I'm podcasting, I'm just kind of spewing what comes to mind a little bit.
But Brody is very much like,
Brody has a serious filter.
This?
That's kind of a big portion of why he doesn't talk too much, because he's really processing what's going on before he speaks, which is a good trait.
It's a good trait, yeah. But at the same time, you know, I think that's really a huge problem with young people. And you got to think, Isaac, we are going to be running this world soon. You know, older people are going to die. It's how every generation works.
Well,
the old die off, the young become old, the young run things. And we are going to be running things soon. And
well, just,
with that
just
said...
Just like, you know, young people should have an opinion. Old people should still have an opinion. It's not like, oh, you know, screw them because we're going to be running it next.
But
you know?
No, I feel like if we're younger and we say, oh, well, our ideas don't matter and we're not willing to express our opinions
on
things.
You're saying that will create a damaging effect when we're actually
Yeah, because right now is the great time to come up with ideas and you know, run those by older people, because the older people that
they have
experienced a lot of conflict, you know, World War One, World War Two, the Cold War, Vietnam, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis, everything else. And, you know, they've lived through that and they've had experience with that. You know, the presidents, you know, John F. Kennedy, you know, fucking FDR, Nixon, all, you know, all those presidents, LBJ, if there are, you know, I mean, I'm talking about 50 years ago, but still, that's important because these are people that, you know, you can kind of learn, you know, you've lived through that. So, you know, what they've done and the repercussions of what they've done. So I think that's important also to, for young people to express ideas and say, you know, this is what I'm thinking. And I think a lot of leftists, young people do that, you know, the protesting, for example. But I feel like a lot of young conservatives are very like, you know, they don't really like to express themselves.
Sure. And, I mean, I think conservative people as a whole are probably more
quiet.
And I think especially conservatives that are young, because they probably, I would think they would generally have the mentality of, you know, older people are wiser and let them kind of take the
and I believe that to an extent. Like, you don't get me wrong, older people are great. I love to, I mean, I recommend to anyone, if you have an older person readily available that's, you know, 80, 85 years old, have a conversation, because you are going to learn a lot, you know, but at the same time, you know, they're human just like us and they've made mistakes. And I think for someone to say, oh, they're older, so they're the all wise, you know, they can't do any wrong. No, they've done plenty of wrong in their lives, trust me. So I don't think it's fair to say, well, my idea, you know, I'm just going to let them run things because my ideas aren't as good, or my ideas don't, you know, they're going to laugh at my idea. No, you know, that's not how running a country works. You know what I mean? We need ideas, especially in a democracy. You know how many problems this country runs into?
A lot. we're in a pretty much a constant state of problem.
Well, we're in a constant state of idle. We've been idle fucking since the beginning.
Well, sure, that's one of the big problems.
It's like you can only pass stuff if it's going to benefit both sides. There, you know,
right? Protest all you want. The people that are in legislation aren't listening. They just vote for whatever they believe in.
But they vote in what's going to get them reelected most.
Right, exactly. They vote in, oh, what political party do I support? What? Oh, yeah. So I gotta
well,
vote
not
to
even
support
that.
Them, or else there'll be an ad on TV that's, this person does not support your beliefs. Do not vote for, you know, so and so, because
Senator Susan Collins,
vote against
Angus
what
King,
you believe in. And
sorry, Susan, sorry, Susan, just come on the podcast.
You do not want this person in Congress.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, I understand it. I feel like young people are important in politics, especially because, like I said, we have ideas and we have ideas on technology, too. We could, you know, technology is very important. And I think the integration of government and technology is, you know, I'm not saying like Google, all that shit. I'm saying, like, you know, having more programs for, you know what I mean, Isaac? I think it's important. Young people are very smart. They know what they're talking about when it comes to newer stuff.
Well,
you know, they can easily adapt to new things, whereas older people have a problem with that. Older people, you know, and I think that's one of the things that really annoys me the most is for some reason, older people can't learn new things.
Generally speaking, People have a tendency to kind of be set in their ways. You know, you get familiar with something and that's what you want to stick to. But the reason why younger people, I feel, adapt to those things better is because we're creating our ways right now. We're creating what we're used to. We're creating what we know right now, so we can add stuff to that. But it's very hard once you're very familiar with the way of life to just change it on a whim. And I don't think you can expect older people to be able to do that as much as younger people. And that's another reason I would say why younger people, it is important to have their opinion be heard, because we're still adaptable. We're still growing and learning. And that's an important perspective to have. All perspectives are important to have, and that is one of them.
But you can't teach, you cannot teach an old dog new tricks. You can't. It's difficult, you know, no matter how hard you try, it's nearly impossible, honestly. And it's, you know, it's one of those things. It sucks, but what are you going to do, right? I think that's it for today's episode of the Medievals podcast. But before we end it out, here's a word from our sponsor. And we're back to end things out. Brody wasn't here again this week. Well, we had
some difficulties in setting the day to do it, and then me and Gage showed up at the office late last night, and then my computer was being problematic.
Yeah, so we had to come this morning.
Yeah, I showed up here at 8 a.m. like Gage told me to. Gage showed up here at 8:30.
You got here at eight oh eight.
Calling you. Sure, but calling Gage up for being late.
I mean, am I
overtired? Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm glad you didn't leave, Isaac. So as far as Birdie, hopefully he'll be back next week. Hopefully, fingers crossed. But yeah, we need, you know, why don't everyone just say on Twitter hashtag Brody come back, because hashtag
bring
Brody
back
come
Brody
back. Bring back Brody
hashtag, yeah.
Bring back Brody. But yeah, I think that's all for today. If you did enjoy, please like, subscribe, share, please rate us on Apple Podcasts, because I mean that would really mean a lot. Thank you guys all for the support.
Do all those social media type things.
Thanks everyone for the support. This week we had more views, engagements, everything than we've ever had in our entire
it's been really, really big.
Yeah, so we really appreciate everyone listening. We really appreciate everybody. And until next time, guys, I'm Gage.
I'm Isaac.
We're signing off. Have a good one.
See you later. We'll be right back.